Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Keith Culver. The sermon is based on scripture from Isaiah chapter 45, verses 22 through 25, and Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. This sermon starts the series "Do I Really Have to Believe That?" and is titled "Predestination." Central's Sunday morning service for the 2nd of August, 2026, 10 Sunday after Pentecost, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Services under Worship.
Thank you, Anita. All right, our second text this morning is from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. And this is from the Inclusive Bible Translation, which is a translation I like very much. Listen now for God's word. Praise be the Maker of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has bestowed on us in Christ every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Before the world began, God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless, to be full of love. God likewise predestined us through Christ Jesus to be adopted children. Such was God's pleasure and will, that everyone might praise the glory of God's grace, which is freely bestowed on us in God's beloved Jesus Christ. It is in Christ and through the blood of Christ that we have been redeemed and our sins forgiven. So immeasurably generous is God's favor given to us with perfect wisdom and understanding. God has taken pleasure in revealing the mystery of the plan through Christ, to be carried out in the fullness of time, namely, to bring all things in heaven and earth together in Christ. In Christ, we were willed an inheritance. For in a decree of God, and everything as administered according to the divine will and counsel, were predestined to praise the glory of the Most High by being the first to hope in Christ. In Christ, you too were chosen. When you heard the good news of salvation, the word of truth, and believed in it, you were sealed with the promise, Holy Spirit, who is the pledge of our inheritance, the deposit paid against the full redemption of a people who are God's own to praise God's glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, it is August and people are going back to school and I can't believe it. Can you believe it? And can you believe it? We're starting a new sermon series. Yeah, it's called, Do I Really Have to Believe That? And today, we're beginning with a big one. It's predestination. But first, I want to tell you about a tree. So there is a coast redwood in Northern California, and its name is Hyperion. It's the tallest living tree on Earth. It rises 380 feet from the forest floor, which is taller than the Statue of Liberty by like 70 feet. And it's also taller than a 30-story building. If you stood at its base, you could follow the trunk upward for a while, but eventually it would disappear into branches and fog and light. But you would still know it was there, even though you couldn't see the crown. The exact location of this tree, Hyperion, is a secret. It's now protected by a 3-square-mile restricted zone, and it's because people wanted to find it and to photograph it and to say that they had stood beside it. Their desire to possess mystery was damaging the forest floor all around it, so they made it restricted. And I think there's something really human about that. We come upon a mystery, and immediately we want to pin it down. We want to know exactly where it is and how it works and what it means. We want answers that we can touch. But some mysteries invite us just to stand still and to look up and to admit that there's more than we can see. And for me, predestination is one of those mysteries. It's one of those church words that make people nervous and maybe even a little afraid. But before I go any further, let's just talk about what the heck I mean by predestination. The doctrine of predestination is not about destiny. It's not about fate. And it's not that God has everything in your whole life planned. What we mean when we talk about the doctrine of predestination has everything to do with salvation. And many of us were taught a version of predestination that imagined God creating humanity, and then before any of us had taken our first breath, sorting us into groups. Some were in, some were out. Some were welcomed, some were left behind. And that teaching has caused a great deal of pain. It causes people to wonder, do I believe enough? Do I pray enough? It makes us worry about maybe a child who doesn't believe, or a friend who practices another religion, or someone who's been so deeply wounded by the church that they just want nothing to do with it. And ultimately, a teaching that was meant to proclaim grace becomes a source of anxiety. It can also give us a very troubling picture of God. We are told to love everyone, while imagining limits around God's love. We are asked to forgive our enemies while picturing abandonment as God's final response. But when I read this passage in Ephesians, I hear something so much more generous. In the original Greek, these verses are one long, overflowing sentence. Thank you, Paul. It begins by praising God, and Paul just seems unable to stop. And that's one of the things I love about Paul. Paul is overflowing with wonder. Look, Paul says, look how much grace God has given us. And that's where our conversation about predestination begins. It begins with grace. At its simplest, predestination means that God loves us first. Before we searched for God, God was already moving towards us. Before we had succeeded or failed, before we had impressed or disappointed anyone, before we had done anything to earn love, love was already there. God got there first, and you don't have to earn love. Friends, you never have to earn God's love. And that's the good news at the center of this passage. You are loved because love is who God is. Predestination speaks to the deepest truth of who we are while we live. You are a life held within the purposes of God. You are beloved. You are more than your mistakes. You are more than your rejection. You are more than the relationship that's ended, or the diagnosis you've received, or the regret that you carry. Before all of that, and beneath all of that, you are beloved, and that is where the story begins. God's grace gives us a place to stand and a place that God calls us into the world. And so now, the language of vocation becomes important. We often hear the word vocation, and we think about a career. We may imagine people who have discovered the one thing that they were placed on earth to do. But vocation is larger than a job. It comes from a word meaning call, and it is the life that grows out of God's love. It is our call. Our vocation is the way we answer that love with our lives. And most of the time, vocation is lived in ordinary places. It's lived in the way that we care for a child or an aging parent, in a meal that we prepare for somebody who is sick, in the courage to apologize, and to remain tender in a world that rewards hardness. Vocation is a way that each of us joins God's work, gathering all things. And for one person, that might be through teaching. And for another, it could be through organizing, or caregiving, or creating, or listening, or protesting, mentoring, or simply being a person who notices when somebody's left out. Sometimes our vocation is public, and sometimes it's visible. Sometimes it's not. The way we answer God's call in one season may look different. Illness changes the way we can offer things. Parenthood, grief, aging, a new relationship, a lost job, a move. These all reshape the life that we thought we were going to live. And our worth doesn't depend on maintaining one role forever. The call beneath all of these changing roles remains the same: to live in love, no matter what. Predestination means that our calling begins in grace. God's purpose for us begins with understanding, and our vocation grows from us knowing that we already have a place in God's household. Shirley Guthrie helps us understand this. Yay. Guthrie said that being chosen by God gives us vocation and election as a means by being called into God's service. God gathers a people so that those people may bear witness to God's love in the world. In other words, we are chosen for service in the world, and we have been entrusted with the mercy and the hope that what has been scattered can be gathered, and in that, what is wounded can become healed. Being chosen is a responsibility to make God's love visible. That's what election means. It means responsibility. God called Abraham and Sarah so that all families of the earth might be blessed through them. And that blessing was meant to move through a people and out into the world. And our church, the church, inherits that same vocation. Belonging, hope, and love become a way of life. In the text today, Paul keeps saying the phrase, in Christ. God chooses us in Christ. God gives us grace in Christ. God reveals the mystery of divine love in Christ. In Christ describes the shape grace takes. In Jesus, we see grace moving towards people others avoid. We see tables becoming wider. We see outsiders welcomed, questioned honored, and death denied the final word. Jesus shows us what divine love looks like when it takes on flesh and moves through the world. But hang on. To say that we've met God in Jesus does not mean that we can map out every way God is meeting someone else. We follow Jesus because this is the way we've been given. This is where we have encountered grace, and faithfulness to our path does not give us complete knowledge of the way that God might be moving through another person's life. We cannot know everything God is doing in another person, and that mystery calls us to humility. We stand in just one place in the forest, and we can't see the whole canopy, every opening through which light enters. Ephesians tells us where God's love is going. God's purpose, Paul says, is to gather up all things, things in heaven and on earth, all things. God's future is a future of gathering, of bringing together what has been divided and healing what has been wounded and restoring what has been lost. Hyperion is an extraordinary tree, and its life is possible because it belongs to a forest. Its roots are held in soil formed over centuries. It receives rain and fog. Its branches provide shelter. Its life is connected to fungi and insects and birds and animals and rivers and fallen trees and neighboring redwoods. You can't really understand the tree apart from the forest. God's work reaches through the whole of creation. Everything is connected. God is gathering all things. And here at church, we're called to community. And Pastor Susan preached about that last week. Our gifts become meaningful as they contribute to the life around us. But the question of vocation then is larger than, well, what am I supposed to do with my life? It becomes, what has God entrusted to me What needs healing in my small part of the forest where I have been planted? Predestination assures us that we enter those questions already held by grace. We don't have to discover that one perfect calling or even fear that we've missed God's plan. All we have to do is listen for the next faithful response. We are chosen to become signs of the gathering God intends, which is important because we live in a world that is constantly sorting people. Housed and unhoused, straight and queer, innocent, guilty. The world tells us that some lives are worth protecting and others are easier to ignore. But Ephesians gives us a different version. God is creating a household where everyone has a place. God is moving towards reconciliation and repair and wholeness. Church, we are always moving towards wholeness. We become gatherers. We set tables. We tell the truth. We care for people who are unhoused and imprisoned and sick and grieving or forgotten because every human life is sacred. And this is what it means to be chosen. We are gathered by grace, and we are sent in love. Paul says we are chosen to be holy. Holiness means belonging to the purposes of God. It means allowing our lives to be shaped by the future God desires. We participate in that future. We participate in it every time we make room at a table, or tell the truth, or practice courage or forgiveness, or protect someone who is vulnerable. That's when we participate. And these acts may feel small. We continue to live among violence and grief and injustice and loneliness. But Christian hope invites us to face all of that honestly while trusting that God is still at work. We are standing at the base of a tree, unable to see the crown, but we have received enough grace to trust the direction in which it is growing. Hyperion has been growing for centuries. Centuries before anybody measured it or named it or recognized its height. But that mystery was already there. Just like the grace of God was already there long before the work of the church. We can't see the whole crown. We can't explain exactly how every wound will be healed. That remains a mystery. But predestination asks us to trust that the deepest movement of creation is towards belonging. So the question is, because I'm already loved, how will I participate in God's love for the world? How will I mend what has been torn apart? How will I make belonging real for somebody who's told they don't belong? Friends, God loved us first. Grace came before us. Love will remain after us. And I believe that the final word spoken over creation will be beloved. May it be so. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work, and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.